columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
I would never question my teammates like that in a public forum. And
so are you not, Kyle? I mean, are you knocking him for this? You kind of said you liked it. You liked that mentality. And then you're saying that, and also I want to do this, KKFN.
HD1, Longmont, Denver. Yeah, keep going.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
It feels good to be back in studio. How do you view this?
The execution was like a 2 out of 10 on that, though.
Well, I was slowing it down. I wanted to savior it.
Yeah, okay. I think it's savior, but yeah, huh? It's okay. You're getting there.
No, he wanted to savior it.
Yeah.
He's coming to the rescue. Savioring it.
Hey, guess what? Screw you, Zach, and screw you, Tyler. Okay, how about that? Savor that. All right? Okay, y'all can do all of that. No, but seriously, how do you take it, Tyler, as a former player, right? You've been in locker rooms, and I'm with you. It kind of seems like it's a shot after shot at Melvin Gordon here, a little bit like, hey, we're going to see who's better. We're going to see who the starter should be. And maybe it's not a direct shot at Melvin, but it's kind of, I don't know.
No, it is. It might be
a shot at Elway. We're going to see, John. It could be that also. But at the same time, how do you view it overall? Because that's who he is. That's what's made him great, like you said.
Yeah, overall, I love that he's a bulldog. Overall, I would never tell him to change. But I guess I'll put it this way. If I was Melvin Gordon, I'd be a little bit ticked off. I would.
No, he only gets mad at me.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, yeah. Have you guys kissed made up yet? What's the status of you and Melvin Gordon?
I don't know.
I talked to Patrick Smythe earlier in the week. He goes, tell Stokey, give him my best. It's like, just don't let this Melvin Gordon thing turn into the next Marquette game.
What is it with you?
I don't
believe it.
Tyler, I don't know, man. I don't know. So, how would you take it if you're Melvin Gordon?
I mean, I think I might be putting something back up there. I'd be like, we're going to see. Oh. You know what I mean? Like,
Could you imagine if he did that?
What if he did that for real?
Seriously, what's the difference between Melvin doing that and Philip Lindsay doing this like for a third time? Like the point has been made. It was made 2 months ago. He came out, did the interview, said how pissed he was. Then he fired the tweet off and said, we gonna see. And now he's posting 4 different pictures to Instagram, sort of kind of. And forgive me for saying this sort of phrase, but he's kind of stirring the pot here for the narrative that's already been out there. The gas is the fire's already burning. This is just more gas for knuckleheads like us to talk about. So we can never say, it's almost like the decision. We didn't come up with the decision. The Broncos came up with the decision between Paxton and Trevor. We are not manufacturing this. This is Philip Lindsay on his own platform doing this.
Yeah, and I also think it's kind of unintentionally, he's backing his coaches into a corner. You know, like his coaches, unintentionally right now, they're looking at this situation like, well, you know what? If we weren't choosing Melvin Gordon before, I guess now do we have to? Now is that what we're doing? Like, now do we have to choose who's going to play? Like the
it makes it more awkward.
Exactly.
It puts
the
spotlight more on that room than it already would be.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I'm looking at it. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking it's more of a shot at John Elway. Like, hey, and he's not directly taking a shot here at Melvin Gordon. Like, we're going to see, you know, who's better out of us two. It's just the fact that John Elway, hey, we're going to see here, buddy. You know, you paid this guy all this money, and I'm going to show you I'm better than him. But if you're Melvin Gordon, you're sitting there, and you're like, really? You're doing this again? So...
And clearly Melvin Gordon's a little bit sensitive. I mean, I'm not even joking. Clearly he's sensitive to the entire deal if he's willing to come at you like that.
Yes, exactly. And he's saying don't make this about Philip and me. But Philip kind of almost is.
Yes, and I totally agree. And here's the other thing, and we haven't even got to actual football yet. I have been saying this since I saw the first shot kind of fired, for lack of a better term, from Phil. We are all kind of under the assumption, even if you believe like Stoke does, by the end of the year, Philip is going to take this job. But But at the start of this thing, you follow the money. Melvin Gordon is going to be the starting running back week one against the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football.
Of course.
That is the way that it is. So if that trend continues and Pat Shurmur's career trend continues and it's, you know, 70-30, let alone 80-20, the way that his career's been, Pat Shurmur, say it's just 70-30 and Phillip Lindsay is not getting the opportunities. To think that this couldn't be an issue in the locker room from a human standpoint, I think is naive. I think Phillip Lindsay has that much fire in his belly, and if things are fractured from a human standpoint before we even get to the football games, and then Shurmur's career backs up some of these fears, I mean, we're not used to running back feuds or beef within a running back room, but I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation for sure, and I mean. Hey, man, Phillip, I guess, is writing his own narrative.
Yeah. Tyler, have you ever been in a room like that where either you were the starter and they brought in another guy and paid him more money and it was just a little bit awkward, or you were the other guy coming in? I don't know, like when you came into Seattle or whatever and there was a guy in front of you that, you know, you kind of just leapfrogged and having those types of dynamics in a room. Were you in any situation like this at all?
Well, first off, I feel like every single year I watch the draft in the first round and I'm like, please don't draft a tackle. Please don't draft a tackle.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah.
You always draft a freaking tackle. Why do you always draft a tackle? So, I've been in that situation, in particular out there in, with the Washington Redskins. They drafted Morgan Moses in the second round, I believe. Drafted him in the second round to replace me. And, you know, he did over time. It took him a year and a half to replace me, but I held him off for a year and a half. And it was a little bit awkward. You know, we had a good relationship, though. I mean, I never was overly threatened by him. I understood what football meant, and I also understood that, like, look, man, I never felt threatened by a guy like Morgan Moses because I knew that physically, man, look at him. He's a monster. Like, his arms are twice as long as mine. Of course, if I was running the team, I would draft that guy. But I also knew that at the end of the day, there was going to be nobody in that offensive line room that is going to be as reliable as I was. And that's really what it comes down to in offensive line play more than anything else. You don't have to be the sexiest player. You just got to be reliable out there. So I was always confident in my own abilities. And I don't know. I just never had, like, it was never an awkward relationship between me and Morgan.
Well, Stoke, I was just about to ask you the same question that you asked Tyler. Like, were you ever in an awkward room that there was either whispers or there was some tension there?
Well, I mean, anytime you go to a new group right away, and I went to a new group a few times during a season when I went to the Giants. You know, those guys have been together all offseason, training camp. All of a sudden, you just drop somebody in there, and that means he probably took somebody's job.
Right.
And so, yes, it's awkward. So I did that with Seattle. I did that with the Giants. I did that with the Ravens my last year there. And certainly when you're in a wide receiver room and you have guys that are drafted that come in, it's a little bit, you know, different. But like Tyler said, you learn to navigate those things. If you feel good about yourself and what you can do, it's like, all right, well, I feel like I'm going to be here this year, but if they want to move on from me and go to this guy, if I just do what I'm supposed to do, there'll be another job out there somewhere for me. So if you take that approach, it usually works out. I did have that situation in 2012 here with Peyton. I told the story about coming in the, you know, I just didn't want to step on anybody's toes at that time. And I just wanted to be more laid back in the approach, like during the off season. And we were practicing out there during OTAs and they called three wides and I wasn't going to jump out there three wides. I just got there, you know, a month before.
Right.
So I just stand in the back and all of a sudden McCoy and Adam Gase are like, what, get in there. What are you doing? You're third wide. Let's go. Three wides. You're in there. And so I had to bump somebody out, a little bit awkward, but I wasn't going to just put myself out there in that situation. I was going to let the coaches do that for me. And they did it, and it kind of is what it is.
Tyler, continued luck in corralling D-Mac, who this past week said that if Josh Rosen was picked by the Denver Broncos, they would have been in the playoffs last year.
Right.
That was
right.
That
can you imagine things I'm dealing with over here for 3-7, fellas? Good news, though. The steam has just been getting it's been getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's getting to the point where you can hardly see his face because there's so much steam that's coming out of him the last few days. I mean, I got him really, really close to just breaking entirely.
You got him on the ropes?
I got him on the ropes, and I think today I might just make him tap out.
I'll tell you what. Him out.
When he said that, when he said the Broncos would have been a playoff team last year with Josh Rosen.
What was worse, that or James Merrilat saying they would have gone 11-5 with Mark Sanchez?
I honestly think these.
Oh, I didn't hear the Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, James Merrilat said it.
Mark
Sanchez played over Trevor Siemian. If they didn't cut him that year during training camp, Mark Sanchez, that year, they would have went 11-5.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, at least there was precedent that Mark Sanchez has been to the playoffs.
Right.
Very true. Doesn't have a job. All right, Tyler, great stuff. Thank you for stopping by, and have a great long weekend, man.
Hey, see you, boys.
Good luck with that hair.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There he goes. Tyler Palumbus.
is he getting hair plugs now?
I don't know what's going on there. I'm not sure.
Spots sound great.
Spots sound great.
And I listen to him like, ooh, I might need that.
I might need that pretty soon.
But he was, I remember when he came back here, he did have that little spot.
I saw that. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll help him out. I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they are.
I see D-Mac's going back to the old D-Mac.
I saw him in here
a second ago.
The floppiness?
Yeah. Did he stop getting the clothes shipped in or whatever? Did that deal go away or something?
He was doing that. It was like Stitch Fix or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was on top of it, like coming in with jeans and all this, you know, looking. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, my bad.
New shorts.
Brand
new cool shirt.
Yes, Lord. My bad. The socks are just kind of...
I
like the curly hair, though. I like the curly hair.
He's growing that thing out.
Looking good. He's looking good.
His sock game has always been an issue.
Yeah. You too, D-Mac. Good to see you, buddy.
Oh, Lord.
It's good to be back in the studio. This is what you missed, you know, the locker room feel.
Yeah, that's right,
of
man.
Being in here, you know, being able to bust chops a little bit and seeing those guys. And, you miss seeing Orlando, like, when he comes out and you're coming in. I mean, that's always cool. And
love it. I love it. It's great to have you back, man.
It's good to be back in studio, in-house, at least just for one day. It feels good.
I got to tell you, I just don't like this. What's going on right now?
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
A quick recap of it.
Yeah. So again, here for the third or fourth time, you know, Philip Lindsay, you know, putting out there on social media, sort of. I don't know if he's calling out Melvin Gordon. I don't know if he's calling out John Elway.
I don't think he is. But I think he's calling out John Elway.
But the fact that you can reasonably connect the two with Melvin, because it's so cryptic that we don't know, and I'm left to interpret.
Right. Yes.
And here's the way I would ask the question. What do you think Melvin feels when he sees this?
That's a great question. He can't like it.
He's
got to look at it and say, really? Come on, man. I mean, are you taking a shot at me here? I mean, you can't be taking a shot. You're taking a shot at Elway for signing me. Either way, it's almost either you're taking a straight shot at me or it's an indirect shot at me.
Bingo, man.
Right?
Bingo.
So,
well said.
You know, if anything, you know, he was, like Tyler said, really sensitive about me calling him out and saying that they overpaid for him, and which they did. And is he not seeing all this other stuff coming out?
He's seeing it.
But
he's seeing it.
But he's, you know,
he's the new guy. He's the Stokely going to the Giants.
Right.
I mean,
what are you going to do? You don't want to start stepping on toes.
You're on his turf. The fan base is going to have Phillips back.
Right.
He's the homegrown guy. He's the back-to-back 1,000-yard guy. He's the underdog story. He's the one that bailed John Elway out at the running back position.
Look, you can take shots at Stokely, and, you know, most fans would just be like, take your side, right? But, hey, you want to start taking shots at Philip Lindsay. And Broncos country will turn on you really, really quickly.
You know, I just don't like it.
I didn't
want
Broncos country to have my back, and they didn't. I'm bad.
Well, Stoke, I'll say this. What Tyler said when he was just joining us, saying that you're kind of putting the coaches in an interesting spot, too, because you're the fire's been started before you even show up. And I don't know if the coaches are following this, but I'm sure at a certain point in time it's going to come to their attention.
I mean, Vic Fangio is getting wind of it for sure.
Yeah.
He's got to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they got to be, they got to know when stuff like this comes out. Don't you think that somebody.
And it's not one time. This is the third or fourth time now. So
the dynamics there.
You would have to agree that this is getting back to the coaches. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. But it's just there's something new at play here that hasn't been at play. It's really unique. It's a little bit odd. It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, a part of me loves Philip Lindsay and the fact that he is this fired up for this.
Yeah.
That's why he's here. That is literally why he's here. But the other half of me is like, you know, it's truly about the name on the front of the jerseys. right? It's not about, you know, Philip versus Melvin, but he's sort of making it that way, even if we have to use our imagination saying, well, he could be talking about John, but, you know, Melvin's the actual competitor in the room. The fact that we're having these conversations, I just, you know, I'm just...
No, you're right. It's not great for the Denver Broncos. But at the same time, Philip Lindsay's pissed, right? We've said it from day one, from
pissed.
The first one,
pissed.
From right when this signing happened. And he is using this to fuel him. And so as a team, not good. You know, you don't want this stuff to come up because now it just puts more of that spotlight on what's going on. What's the dynamics? Are they talking? Are they not talking? Are they friends? Are they not friends? How many reps is Melvin Gordon getting? How many reps is Philip Lindsay getting? Man, I wonder, you know, Philip's going to be really upset because he didn't get a lot of first team reps in practice. And oh man, look, I mean, it's just bringing more attention to that group and that room and everything that happens throughout the course of training camp, throughout every single game. It's more of a spotlight on that room and just brings more attention to it. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And, you know, I'm trying to put myself in that locker room just as a wide receiver, just an offensive player, and how I would view it. And I would probably say I'm Courtland Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been here now for 2 years. I'm going on 3 years. I'm a solidified starter. My guy is Philip Lindsay. That's a guy I've gone to battle with on the football field for 2 years now. That's my guy, right? That's my teammate. That's my brother. Look at what he's done for us. We've battled together, had some ups, some great moments, had a lot of down moments. We fought through it. You know, this guy came from undrafted status to being where he's at. I was a second round pick, and, you know, we've kind of led this offense on our backs the last couple years. That's my dude. Go ahead, Philip. Preach.
Mm.
I got your back.
Mm.
That would be me in the locker room if I was Philip Lindsay's teammate, if I was Courtland Sutton. Name another guy that's been there for, you know, 2 or 3 years, whoever.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Garrett Bowles, your...
Bowles, yeah. I mean, look, that's my guy. So I got your back more so than I got Melvin Gordon's back. And Melvin Gordon might be a good guy and all this and that, but at the same time, I got Philip Lindsay's back because that's the guy that I've been battling with the last couple years. So.
I don't know this new guy.
Yeah,
you know I don't know him. No, I think that's probably standard fare. I know that's probably how I would be. Like that's my dude. We got a newcomer. So
not that you're going to treat Melvin Gordon bad or give him a cold shoulder, but you know right now in this situation you're like, hey, go ahead, man, go. Yeah, we're gonna see. Go ahead, Philip. I hear you. They're trying to take your job away from you. They're trying to give it away. Don't go down without a fight.
Well, I'll say this. I'm seeing on the RamosLaw.com text line a lot of people just asking Phil just to just go out and play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of that. And there's some people saying that, you know, Melvin Gordon's acting like the adult in the room. You know,
They didn't see the tweets coming at Stokely? Did they not see that? Did you not see that? RamosLaw.com texter.
Someone
was
said,
he acting like an adult when he was attacking me? Telling me I needed to take a pay cut? That I get paid too much? What else was he telling? What else was he saying? I mean, he was personally attacking me.
But he's
being the adult here, right? Okay.
I'm pretty surprised that he was doing that.
They should take my blue check mark away, first of all. I'm like, dude, I played 15 years. I got 2 Super Bowl wins. excuse me?
Yeah.
Better check that resume.
That wasn't cool. The longer that set in from Melvin, like, it's not his place to, well, or, you know, it can be, I guess. I don't want to tell him what he can and can't do, but like, you were being reasonable. You had a football take.
Right.
On the Broncos and their cap situation and what they could have done with the money. And then he jumped to making it very personal.
He did. So, taking the shots at me personally, and I'm taking a shot at him. I just didn't like the signing.
It was more, you were taking more of a shot at the Broncos.
Think they overpaid?
It wasn't about Melvin. You said to Melvin that I wanted you to get paid.
I did.
I just not by the Denver Broncos.
That's right.
So, look.
And also, at the same time, like, hey, guess what you're doing now, Melvin Gordon, by coming back at me? You're putting the spotlight more on yourself this year and your production. Oh, okay. You're saying that I'm wrong? All right. You're just bringing more attention to yourself and your play and your performance. And now we'll talk about it all the time, even more so. He just brought more attention to it. So if he underperforms, man, he looks really, really foolish for coming at me and attacking me.
Yeah, that will be the case if he underperforms.
Right. The best thing to do is just lay low.
Yeah.
And if you want to come back, just say, hey, we're going to see. Something like that. But you just brought more attention to your situation. And the best thing to do is use it to motivate you. But don't try to get in a battle with the media over things that they say, especially radio people that are giving you their takes.
How about this one? How about this one? Ashley on the RamosLaw.com text line. It's not my Ashley because I see the area code. But they said you actually provided Gordon with an outlet for his frustration right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think that is a really astute comment.
Yep.
That he's upset too. Don't forget, Melvin Gordon said when he looked around the league at potential suitors, he didn't even look at the Broncos. He said they have a running back. I was shocked when they called. So do you think if Melvin got to choose that he would be here? Now, Melvin got paid, so he's going to take that money. I mean, he's setting up his family, he and his family, for the rest of their lives, so you can't fault him for that. But is this the number one A place that Melvin Gordon would want to be?
No.
I bet he wants to be a bell cow somewhere.
Well, yeah, but, and he doesn't want the drama that has been here. That is here right now. That his signing would cause. He's coming to a spot with a local kid that grew up here, played college football here, has been a star here his whole life, and he undrafted, and all he's done is rush for 1,000 yards his first 2 years. And now he is taking that guy's spot. He has been given that guy's spot. Do you think he would want to come to those dynamics here? No.
No, heck no.
You want to go somewhere where, hey, you know, you don't have that type of the running back rush for 600 yards last year or 700 yards last year and is just a guy. That's where you want to go get paid. So you just come right in and all of a sudden those guys look at you like, oh, yeah, that, you know, he's the guy. Well, he comes into this locker room and everybody's like, well, we'll see who the guy's going to be. You got your work cut out for you, Melvin, holding off Phillip Lindsay. That's what's happening here. So, no, he wouldn't prefer to come to this situation with these dynamics at play here.
How does this one turn out?
Oh, it's fascinating. I mean, look, we've talked about it for months now, ever since the signing, that this is going to be one of the highlights of training camp, watching this thing play out every single day, the dynamics at play. And we're not talking about, you know, who looks better and all this stuff because it's hard to tell for a running back in training camp. They're not even tackling these guys. It's two-hand touch.
Mm.
They don't even have pads on for most of the time. But how many reps is Melvin Gordon getting? Is Phillip Lindsay getting any first-team reps? Are they splitting reps? Are they doing alternate days? How does that's what's going to be the interesting thing here.
Do you think the coaching staff would mix in first-team reps for Phil just to keep the peace?
Yes, they understand the dynamics in the locker room. Yes, I do. But also, don't you think he deserves it?
Yes.
I thought he was about to say, shoot.
Yes. I was on the doorstep of that.
Yeah.
But I've never done it. In 12 years of radio, I've never cursed into a microphone. But I wanted to there because, of course, Phillip Lindsay deserves the opportunity to defend. He's the Kevin Hogan, isn't he? He's the champ.
Don't ever, ever, never, ever compare Phillip Lindsay to Kevin.
Hey, but no, he is big for that one.
He is the champ. But this champ is just, unfortunately, he's not the highest paid guy.
Yeah.
So
the writing's on the wall a little bit.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall.
Phillip Lindsay's got to take it by force.
Yes, or just, you know, injury.
It could happen.
Right, something like that.
You look at Melvin Gordon's career.
Yeah, something like that. So,
and by the way, Melvin Gordon has had fumble issues.
Mm.
And Phillip Lindsay has yet to fumble a single ball in the National Football League. A single ball. Melvin Gordon has years where these are the fumble numbers, 6-2-1-1-4. So 14 fumbles in 5 seasons. Phillip Lindsay has 0 in 2 seasons. So that's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
That ball security will drive a coach absolutely insane.
Oh, yeah. If you're laying it on the turf, I mean, they're not going to put up with that. You can't. You only get a certain amount of possessions, and if your running back's fumbling it away, that's a quick way to getting replaced really, really quickly, especially when you have a guy right behind you that, you know what, all he does is not fumble. and not give the football away.
Right.
So this is that's a good
be,
point.
This I mean, is
that's, a,
be...
that's a really, really good point right there. You know, if you see those fumbles from Melvin Gordon, as a coaching staff, you can't ignore it. There's nothing that drives them more crazy than that.
Mm. All right.
Hashtag, okay. We going to see?
We are going to see. It's going to be, I mean, we're less than a month out. We're less than a month out. Okay, here's a very interesting question, and one that Melvin Gordon should be a part of. What non-rookie newcomer will have the biggest impact for the 2020 Broncos? Think about that one. Take a dive into it next. All right, so we have a bit of news that we will get to in a second, but I want to... Before we move on from the previous topic about Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon, there's a couple things I want to mention. We're not anti-Melvin Gordon. Unless we are. Like, I like Melvin Gordon as a football player. Did I think it was an appropriate fit here in Denver with what they paid him at that position specifically? No. But he's a good football player, and I think the room itself can be really, really good. Stoke?
Yeah. I second that. Everything you said.
Because I've seen here on the
don't
text line.
Don't screw Stokely.
I'm seeing here on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043 and a ton of reaction to this. But someone says, Danny says, I'm sorry, man, but I hate how you guys seem to be so against Melvin being here. I get it. You don't think he's worth the money, but dang, he's here now regardless, and you guys should stop bashing him and trying to make a case why Phillip is better. Certainly not bashing him personally, not at all. We can be critical of the fit. We can talk about the dynamic at play because there is most certainly a human dynamic at play with the posting on social media from Phil. But I know how it can sound.
Yeah, no, nobody's bashing Melvin Gordon at all. Guy's a good football player. We still can believe or not believe if he got paid too much, if it was a good fit here, not a good fit here. Could they use that money better elsewhere, other positions? But it's not anything personal against Melvin Gordon. It's just the situation. And once again, you know, we're just kind of reacting to Phillip Lindsay and what he's putting out there also.
Yep.
But nobody's anti-Melvin Gordon. And we want Melvin Gordon to stay healthy and, you know, be a great back for the Denver Broncos.
And he needs to be to validate the investment that John Elway's made in him.
That's right. Now, we can agree or disagree with whether we think he's going to be a great back here, whether he got paid too much or not, whether he's better or Phillip Lindsay's better. I mean, we can debate that.
Who would you rather have for one season if you could pick one of the two?
I'm going to take Phillip Lindsay. Yeah, I'm going to take Phillip Lindsay. That's who I'll take. Who would you take?
Oh, boy. I want to say Melvin. But there's more.
What do you mean you want to say him? Or so are you saying him or do you want? I mean, I don't understand. I want to say him. That's kind of like I want to. Well,
my gut.
Who are you saying? No, don't tell me about your gut. My gut says no. Who does Zach Bye say?
Like there's. There's more question marks. It feels like there's more question marks.
You still haven't answered the question. Can you just you got to give me an answer, Zachary David Bye. Melvin Gordon or Phillip Lindsay? I don't want to hear anything about this or that. Just give me one of those two names, and that is it.
Melvin Gordon.
Thank you.
But that said,
here we go. But here comes the but.
No, just leave it.
With that
said, I think there's actually more of
Team Melvin. Okay.
I think there's actually more question marks with Melvin Gordon, but there's a higher ceiling with Melvin too. There's more question marks with his availability. Phillip hasn't missed any time. He missed one game. Melvin Gordon has missed a handful of games. He has played.
Last year he was healthy. He just missed the four games for the holdout, right?
That's true. That's
so
true.
So it wasn't because of injury last year, but
He's missed games outside of 2017. He's missed games in 2015, 16, 18, and well, you know, like you just pointed out, 19 he was healthy. So he's got two healthy seasons completely last year in 17, two seasons where he's missed games. But even then, it was still just two games in 2015 and three games in 20 four games in 2018. There's more questions about ball security. He's got 14 fumbles in his career. Phillip Lindsay has none. But when I look at Melvin Gordon's ceiling, I think it's like three floors higher than Phillip Lindsay's. So,
well, when's he going to get there?
He has been there. He just came down a couple floors. He was at 2017.
Yeah, he had a great year.
It was great.
He had a great year. One for five, really. Is that correct? One for five?
One for five in great years.
Yes. So, I mean, look, I mean.
He's had good years, man.
You sound like a little bit of like the Garrett Bowles talk here. I mean, Bowles, he's played, you know, a lot of football, but his ceiling's still here. But I mean, dude, I mean, when are you going to hit the ceiling? I mean.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who has 36 touchdowns in 5 years. That's significant. You're talking about a guy who is super instrumental in the passing game. Three consecutive seasons leading up to last season where he missed time, he had 400 or more receiving yards. He gets in the end zone. He's got 11 receiving touchdowns in addition to 36 rushing touchdowns.
You ready for this? So here's my question. What would Phillip Lindsay look like in a Chargers uniform playing with a veteran quarterback? A more productive offense, obviously, the last 2 years, right? I mean, we can all agree that
light years,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, their offense in L.A. has been better, and they have a veteran, borderline Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers. What would Phillip Lindsay have looked like in that type of system? Could he have put up the numbers that Melvin Gordon put up? And I would say, yes. What would the average – the one thing that really is the
– Go ahead. I know where you're going.
Is the average per carry from Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. You
know, I mean, every year but the 1 year, it's 3.8, 3.9. I mean, it's just – and you look at Phillip Lindsay, 5.4, 4. What was it this year? 4?
Four, 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5, 5.4 his first year. And what would he look like in a Chargers uniform if you gave him 5 years there?
Man, that's a good question. And I think very fair. Because he was already a 1,000-yard guy in this offense that's been in the doldrums. Would he have averaged, you know, 100 more yards on the year? Probably. Would he be more involved in the passing game? Probably.
You know, that's the part for me, really. I think you would see a huge uptick in his pass receiving numbers. I think Melvin Gordon's receiving numbers have a lot to do with the offense. And I said it, the offense that he's played in and the quarterback that he's played with. And I think if you put Phillip Lindsay with that offense and that quarterback, you would see very similar numbers in the receiving game, in the passing game from him.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe even better. I don't want to take that leap yet, but I think you would see those types of numbers and the narrative wouldn't be what it is around Phillip Lindsay when it comes to the passing game.
So let me just ask, like, and I don't want to, or I'm just going to ask, like, why is Melvin here then?
Zach, that's a good question.
Playing silly games.
Thank you.
I mean, we know he's a good football player. We agree on that. I think Melvin's a really good football player.
We watched him. We studied him. We came away. Hey, this guy, look, he's tough to bring down. He's a good short yardage guy. He finds a way to get the end zone. He is good in the passing game. Yeah, he's a good, solid running back.
But so is Phillip Lindsay.
Exactly. I think, one reason why he's here, because Royce Freeman. I think it's Royce Freeman. Didn't work out. They need more than one back, they feel. They want to have a established running game. And I think they still have questions about Phillip Lindsay. They still doubt Phillip Lindsay. It goes back to, hey, they doubted him when they didn't draft him. They didn't believe in him then that he could be a really good running back.
Right.
He's shown them for 2 years what he can do, but they still, deep down, they still say, ha, we still doubt you, Phillip Lindsay. They doubt his durability. for whatever, you know, because he's just his frame. He'll always have that question, you know, probably for the rest of his career, no matter what he does. So I think those are the things that they look at and say, well, what happens if he gets hurt? We can't turn this thing over and have no running game because Royce Freeman, we don't believe in him at all anymore. So, hey, we like the style that Melvin Gordon, how he plays and what he can bring. So let's add him to this group.
Man, this comes down to the price.
Yeah.
This comes down to the price. This is not necessarily a conversation just about Melvin the football player, because we agree he's a good football player. Like, we're in agreement there. It's about the price point, and it's about paying that position specifically. Yeah. That's really the crux of this argument. But, you know, it's we're having it because it's front and center here. And by the way, since we have been on the air, but in the last 5 minutes, 5 minutes ago, the Broncos' official Twitter handle tweeted a quote from Philip Lindsay saying, "It's good for us. At the end of the day, when I get the opportunity, I'm going to make explosive plays."
Mm. So that came out. They wanted a quote to kind of calm the waters. So they reached out to him and said, "Hey, can you please stop? Can you give us something here to kind of
that or they're digging in from quotes from, you know, a month ago after the signing or something like that."
Right.
It's one of those two.
Yeah.
But the waters are being stirred up because Philip Lindsay's social media. So again, that's how we got back to this conversation, because we're reacting to Philip Lindsay once again putting it out there that, like I told you before, we're going to see, and, you know, all that stuff. So look,
We got other news that we haven't talked about. I mean, they're out there throwing. Him and Drew Lock.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, that's the other thing that we take away from the Instagram post.
Yep.
That, hey, they're out there working and throwing. And so.
Yep, that was put out there in the last 24 hours. So the letter from the NFLPA, you know, not, it's kind of fallen on deaf ears.
With some. I mean, if it's just two guys out there, I mean, how would you categorize
that? And it looked like a small group. It wasn't the full team offense that they were running 3 weeks ago. So I think I'm glad you pointed that out. That is definitely worth mentioning. And then, by the way, let me just throw this out there too. Paul Klee, who writes for the Gazette down in Colorado Springs, see him out there at training camp.
Yep.
He's turned into a buddy. He said what never gets brought up with Philip Lindsay is, and he texted me this during the conversation, is, you know, he said Lindsay's had one winning record in both college and the NFL.
Interesting.
And Melvin Gordon has been a part of winning teams in college and in the league. Now, it's not, you can't put wins and losses for football teams on one player, let alone a running back. But it does deserve to get put in, you know, where we're comparing and contrasting the way that we are with splitting hairs. And there was someone else on the text line doing it too, saying, like, you guys are talking about Cortland Sutton and Bradley Chubb and Philip Lindsay like stars. Said these guys have been the best players on bad football teams.
Well, you know, Bradley Chubb, I mean, that's a different conversation because he didn't even play last year, really. I mean, played a few games. It hasn't been a two-win team, right? I mean, they did win 7 games last year.
They did.
So it's not like it's the Bengals here.
No.
But I would look at a guy, and sometimes you almost give him more credit for doing it on a bad football team.
Oh, okay.
A guy like Philip Lindsay, you play running back.
Oh, okay? You know what? Okay.
You play running back, and you're obviously you're behind in a lot of games, and you're still putting up numbers. Hey, you're still averaging a big number.
Yeah.
Now, I guess your counter offer argument could be, well, they're playing pass defense. They think you're going to throw the football. Okay, you can go back. It kind of is
not
what
around
it is
here the last couple of years.
Right, yeah,
I mean, the fact that
he's able to do it on a bad football team, when they look at this roster and they look at this football team offensively, what do they say, Zach? Who do we need to stop?
Phil.
And who else?
It's Sutton.
Yeah, two players, really. That's it.
Especially going back to the 2018 season, where the back half of that season with no DT and Phillip was still being productive. Look, and by the way, we only talk about the offensive line as it relates to the quarterback. Like, we never talk about that. Like, Philip Lindsay has been a 1,000-yard guy despite having an offensive line. So, look, he's made the most of his opportunities. This is, it's a, man, this one's, It's not going away.
It's no.
Not, this conversation's not going away.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. About less than a month here. Training camp kicking off. So,
but I'm nervous that we're not going to be able to watch it.
I don't think we are.
Yeah.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are. Nope. I think they're going to have a very, very, very small number of media members out there. I hated the idea that Nikki Zavala suggested earlier in the show, and not that she's the one suggesting it. She put it out there because she had heard it, that there may be like a pool reporter, like one person out there, and then they inform everyone else what's going on.
Ooh.
There's too much going on at training camp, first of all. We have to split up and watch different fields, but we also emphasize different things, and we also see things differently. You know, I remember going out there during the decision, and you talk to someone about a Paxton Lynch practice, and then you talk to someone else, and it's like, wait, you guys were watching the same thing?
Yeah.
And things get lost in the interpretation of it. So I like being out there. I love being out there. I know you love being out there. We take it very seriously. We take notes for 3 hours straight, and then react on the air because of our time slot is so unique to do that. But I am concerned we're not going to be out there. I hope we are. But you know, we'll see. We will see.
I mean, I think they could make it happen for, you know, hey, I don't know, 20 people a day, media members. Hey, you got to stand 6 feet away. You put, you know, like a Starbucks. I was just in Starbucks. They got little things on the ground. You stand here. Next person's up there. Grocery store, same thing. You put spots out around the edge of the field. This is where you got to stand. You got to social distance. You got to wear your mask. And if you don't follow the rules, you got to go. So I think there's a way to do it.
I agree with you. You can spread us out on the berm there. You can put us on the sidelines.
Right.
You can put people up on that platform where Evans watches for 5 minutes and bolts so we can't see him.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's ways to do it. I just hope that they do it, but I do have my doubts. I do have my doubts. I do have some breaking news here in the NFL.
Some real one.
Some real
good
breaking
stuff.
News.
No Carol Baskins.
Baskins is on Cameo. The preseason is being slashed in half.
It is.
You asked me about a month ago or something like that.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I said, I think they're going to cut it in half. I think you'll still have games, but just two of them. And apparently the 2020 preseason has been sliced in half. Pro Football Talks handle saying that week one and week four are going to be the weeks that are scrapped of the preseason. So they already canceled the Hall of Fame game. So the first preseason, the last preseason game, they're both out.
So who do we have? Who are our two teams now? Second and third preseason games.
Looks like Chicago and the Rams.
Okay, cool. Great. Get a couple games in there. You know, it's a bummer for the lower tier guys that are trying to make a roster and try to, you know, TD and go down there on a kickoff and, you know, I'll get attention and knock somebody out and, oh, look, who was that? Oh, Terrell Davis. Oh, wow. I mean, special, this guy's a football player. You know, those types of players that are fighting to make the team, they're not going to have as many opportunities. What will preseason look like now? Will they be playing more, Zach, do you think? You got two games to do it. You're still going to have extended training camp time, right? So do the starters play more now? We saw it last year with Vic. I mean, it was kid gloves out there. I mean, they didn't play a whole lot at all. So what does it look like when you only have two games?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's no right answer to this because it's about circumstance.
Sure, like, it's about approach. I mean, you don't want to get guys hurt.
Right.
But you want to get ready to go.
So how do you find that line? I mean, Matt Nagy, I think, did an about face on this one. Last year, he didn't play anyone. This year, he says guys are playing.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, because it didn't work out well for him.
The other
one is Sean McVay. Like, he never plays any of his guys. Well, they went to the Super Bowl that one year, but last year they didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, he was a genius 2 years ago. Oh, he didn't play his guys at all during the preseason. Look, they had a great season. Now, all of a sudden, they come back the following year, and they don't even make the playoffs. So it's one of those things where when it works out, it's great. When it doesn't, you're going to get second-guessed.
Yeah.
You got to play a little bit. I mean, we've had this conversation last year a lot, and I went back and forth with it.
And I'm going back and forth right now. I'm going back and forth right now as we speak.
On what you should do for two games if you were Vic Fangio. It's a tough call.
Man,
you got to play a little bit.
Guys got to play. I don't.
No offseason. Offensively, you got to get those guys out there.
I agree.
Don't you?
I agree.
It's going to be tough. You haven't had any offseason to do anything. You got to play the offensive guys for sure. Now, Vaughn, Chubb, hey, I don't need to see you. Let's get ready to go week one. Kareem, Justin Simmons, you know, hey, whoever's A.J. Boye, Casey, those guys don't need to play. Offensive line for the Broncos, you need to play. Melvin, Phillip, I mean, all these guys need to play on offense. Defense, pretty much, you don't need to play them, but offensively, those guys got to play.
Man. Season, preseason cut in half, if you're just joining us, preseason cut in half. So no joint practices, no Hall of Fame game, and then preseason cut in half.
Bummer about the no joint practice. We really enjoy those.
We really do, and I think they're beneficial really beneficial, even if it's a wake-up call like last year. San Francisco coming in here and putting the boots to the Broncos.
Let me come to your house. Let me get that.
Yeah.
Let me get that chain.
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah, Bobby. Cash. Straight cash, homie.
Tell you what. I'm going to get another check for $1.19 million from the Mets, as he has and will every July 1st from 2011 through 2035. He's going to be getting checks till he's in his 70s. Because they, instead of paying the $5.9 million at the time, the Mets agreed to make an annual payment of nearly $1.2 million for 25 years and 8% interest. So the juice is running.
Juice is running.
I'll tell you what.
The juice is running on Tyler also.
You know what? D-Max still owes me money.
Yep.
Tyler did pay up.
Oh, he did?
He did. He Venmo'd me.
Oh, he did.
Because I sent a Venmo request for him to pay me. And the message that I sent was, tell your little friend to bring twice as much on Monday. I still haven't got it.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Hey, happy 4th of July weekend. We're going to be out the next couple of days. I just found that out, which that's cool. But everybody have a great 4th of July weekend. Stay healthy. Stay safe. I got to give one shout out to my wife's cousin, Johnny Jimenez, out there doing some great landscaping with him and his crew out there by Columbines, usually where they hang out, doing some great work out there. They're listening to us.
Awesome.
Yep. And so,
what's up, Johnny?
I'm giving him a shout out. Great cook. Does some great tri-tip. Ooh, had some short ribs a couple days ago that he cooked up on the wood burning grill.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I love it.
Ooh,
so shout out. And I got my own shout out to you.
Yeah.
To my wife.
Oh, look at you. What a kiss butt. Unbelievable.
I got to do it today because we are celebrating our fifth anniversary.
Oh, how about that? Yeah, you got to do it then. You got to. Congratulations.
Yep, it'll be on Saturday, July 4th. We got married 5 years ago on the 4th.
Oh, I thought it was today.
Nope.
Oh, it's coming up. Oh, yeah.
It'll be this weekend. We did July 4th wedding. Every year in our honor, they shoot off fireworks.
Who gets married on July 4th, dude? Seriously. I mean, seriously. Am I the only one that questions who gets married on July 4th?
It's awesome. You get the day off.
No, it's not.
You get the day off. And if it lands on a weekend, you get a long weekend. They shoot fireworks off. It's awesome. It's a feel-good holiday. It's not like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you hang out in jeans and cook some
food. But nobody gets married on Thanksgiving or Christmas either. You don't get married on July 4th,
Zach. You do get married.
No.
You lose your independence on Independence Day.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Hey, well, congratulations.
Dog. Thank you, man.
You'll have a great weekend. And it was great to be back in studio.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now just go away for a while.
I'll be back home in the basement starting Monday.
Steven,
Steven.
Great job this week. Thank you, Steven. And we got Steven. The Drive coming up next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.